And but we are very thankful for each one of you who participate in that and who let's keep praying and asking God to bless us. Now, according to Harper's Bible Dictionary, a stone is any large variety of hardened, natural, inorganic, often mineral substances. We find that stones are mentioned many times in the Bible. And I'm thinking, if I'm not mistaken, they are mentioned 99 times in scriptures, using in various ways. There were in biblical times many usages for stones. Stones were used for tools like axes, knives, scrapers, hammers, and even grinders, which began in the prehistoric times but continues even today. They were used for weapons as well. In fact, it's been said even in modern day that if you find a couple of boys in an argument, their first weapon generally will be a stone, just to compete with the enemy and overtake them. But just as the word stone was used naturally in the biblical times, it was also used figuratively or metaphorically. For we find it in Psalms when the psalmist wrote in 118:22-24, as he attempted to describe how God's steadfast love endures forever, he said, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." We find that his reminder of this stone is just one instance, but I remind you again, as the Israelites crossed the Jordan, you remember the two stone memorials of God's help that were erected. Scripture teaches that the Jews could not get victory in the promised land of Canaan and overcome their spiritual foes without first going through Jordan. These stones were a memorial to God's help as they captured the promised land for themselves. Now then, if you're able, would you please stand as we look at another scripture about stones and read from 1 Samuel 7:7-12. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." And then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord helped us." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. In today's scripture, we find the Israelites in a long, drawn-out war. The people were growing weary and tired and losing heart. But the nation of God had a leader in Samuel. He was not a king, but what we call a judge, a leader appointed by God to help the people remain faithful to the Lord. Samuel called on the people of God to revive their affections for the one true God, to get rid of their backup plans, their idols, and those things that they would pray to when other things didn't seem to work. Samuel told them to rid themselves of all other plans. He also instructed them to come back to God, to repent, to admit fault and blame. And these people, led by Israel, gathered at a place called Mizpah, where they sacrificed animals to the Lord as a symbol of restoring their faith in him. Meanwhile, as they were doing that, the Philistines heard that the people were gathering at Mizpah, and they thought a sneak attack was appropriate. It would be a great idea to go in and sneak upon this weak nation without mighty warriors, without all the other things they needed to make war, and they could easily take them. The Lord, though, fought for his people that day and threw the enemy in confusion. The Israelite army thoroughly routed the enemy Philistines that day because they were confused, and God made it so. The victory could have only been done with the help of God. And Samuel, this judge, wanted the people to remember this for the rest of the generations to come, that this is the day that that God fought for his people. So Samuel took a stone, a single stone, and set it where the army had won the battle. And as the scripture says, he called it Ebenezer, which means stone of help. It was meant to the people that they might remember what God had done for them. Samuel himself said, thus far, the Lord has helped us. The word Ebenezer is rarely mentioned in the sermons and study because of all the noise we've made about Ebenezer Scrooge by Charles Dickinson in our lives. But there was one who mentioned Ebenezer even before Charles Dickens. It was a songwriter by the name of Robert Robertson, and he wrote the lyrics of a song that we know very well and sing. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. And the second verse says this, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by the blood, by the good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. You see, the word Ebenezer is a reminder of what God did. The songwriter and Samuel both looked back at where they had been, where they had come from, and realized that the Lord had been with them all along the way. They arrived at the place where they were, not by themselves, but because the Lord had brought them this far. You know, people forget so easily. We lose sight, we lose hope, we lose faith. We go about our daily existence forgetting all the wonderful things God has done for us. From Noah to Moses, from Jacob to Elijah, for the purpose of remembering what God has done for them, they have built reminders of stone, one upon another, laid carefully to withstand the elements to serve as a reminder for generations that God had been kind to them. And you know, reminders can be good. For instance, I think we need more Ebenezers in life. Life gets rough sometimes and we forget where we've come from. We forget that there is a God who is making intercession for us. We get distracted and forget who we are and whose we are. And I think we need reminders like many of you have with those magnets on your refrigerator with Bible verses and bookmarks with our favorite with scripture verses on our favorite reading materials to remind us that God is with us and he will never forsake or leave us. We need also the fellowship of other believers who love the Lord to remind us that we are not alone on our journey. As Christians, we must establish reminders lest we forget in a very noisy world the solid, uncompromising love God has for each of us. You know, our nation uses stones also as reminders of God's grace and favor upon our land. For instance, the Washington Monument, which is the tallest obelisk in the world, which reminds us of a great leader whose leadership, with God's help, birthed a new nation, conceived in liberty and freedom for all. We have a lady, a stone lady in the New York Harbor that reminds us that we are a nation of greatness. Now, I know there's metal there too, and our history is filled with millions of stories from those who came to this country in search of a better life. And I think as Americans, we must never lose sight of the fact that God has blessed our country, and it is God-fearing people who have fought our nation's battles and won. And I think this weekend marks a national holiday in which we honor those men and women who have served unselfishly for our sake so that we might have earthly freedoms. We also remember those among us who have served faithfully. And as you saw those standing, they serve as living reminders of the sacrifice made for America and our allies. Many of us are here today. Additionally, we also have hundreds of thousands of stones across America with the names of lost veterans, and they serve as reminders of many other veterans who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. As you look across the acres of national cemeteries, you see small white crosses erected with men and women's names on them. We are reminded, it is a terrible reminder of those who gave their lives in defending freedoms. You see, stones play an important part in our life, in our nation, as well as in our Christian life. These stones, some others, whether small or great in size, should remind us of the many great accomplishments made by Americans. You see, Samuel's Ebenezer we read about in our scripture served as a reminder to every generation that has followed of God's intervention and love for them so they might be thankful of God's blessing, and that they might also remain faithful to God in all their life. And as believers and as Americans, we must also consider that God has blessed us and our country. And it's because so many God-fearing people have attuned their hearts to God that our nation has paid homage to a God who is supreme. But I think today, as we think about stones, there's one more stone that I'd like to remind you of. It is the stone that rolled away from a huge tomb that held an earthly body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We all remember the price that Christ paid on the cross for our sins. And as Christians, we know that we are loved because He forgave us. But I think sometimes we stay at Calvary. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that stone that rolled away, that we are people that live in the resurrection, that we are people that live with an eternal hope, that we have a stone that was rolled away that convinces us that our Savior Jesus is not in the tomb, but He has risen. And this stone should be a reminder to every generation that it has been rolled away and He is not there. And I'm reminded often about that stone as we think about people, Christians worldwide, who are being persecuted at this very moment for their faith. Some of them given their lives. And I think about what they must think about, and I can only imagine that I believe they must believe that the stone rolled away was for them, and any persecution and any death in this life is for the cause of Christ, and they will not give up their faith. They will not give up their focus. They will not give up what God has given them eternally for earthly peace. And I'm sure as they have died and as they have suffered and they have persecuted, they have called upon the name of Jehovah, and He has heard them. And I'm sure in their hearts that the reason they're persecuted and they withstand this, and they don't live in a nation with freedom like we have, that they must understand that the stone rolled away gives them eternal hope. I think about that stone rolled away is doing for them as they look to the hope that offers them freedom from the pain and the suffering and the persecution and the hate of this world. And I want to tell you that while our circumstances today in this nation pale in comparison to them, let the stone that was rolled away remind you of the great hope that is yours in Christ Jesus. Above your problems, above your financial, above your marriage, above your children, above the things at work, everything surrenders to the great stone that was rolled away and promises us hope everlasting. I think that as we think about this weekend, that it may be a reminder to us to be thankful, to remember what God has done for our nation and for us as individuals and for our churches. And may that stone that is rolled away ever be a reminder that Jesus Christ is alive and the hope that He promised is ours. And then to think how blessed we are as a nation that a sovereign God used America to be a beacon of light for freedom, using men and women from every clime and place to take up arms and defend that which is most precious to people. And then I pray that every generation would remember what God has done for this country. And then I pray that we as Christians might understand what this Ebenezer stone that was rolled away from the tomb that Christ is risen reminds us of. It is to ensure that the stone that was rolled away becomes a memorial to lost people everywhere, our neighbors, our friends, those that we love at work, that this stone rolled away means that there is hope for them in this life, that we might go to the next life and experience the peace that passeth all understanding, the very fellowship with a God who has loved us and protected us and has kept us through every generation. So I pray that you might want more Ebenezers in your life, more reminders of what God has done to protect you, to keep you, more reminders of what God has promised you everlasting, eternally, that truly we are a people of God, and He has taken care of us through the centuries, and He will continue to take care of us on into eternity. This heritage that we have, this hope that is sealed because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our Savior, means that we have been cared for, and God has promised us eternally a home. And while we're here on this earth, we can look to that Ebenezer, the stone that was rolled away, and realize that our hope is in nothing on this world, nothing in this world, but our hope should be upon Him and everything of the world to come. I would just say to you this morning, if you're here and you've never experienced the great hope that the rolled away stone offers every man, woman, boy, and girl, that you may realize that your hope cannot be placed in anything in this life, but it must be placed in the life that gave His life, a sacrifice for us that we might have an eternal hope. And it can be yours. There's no reason to doubt or to question. You simply come to Him like you are. You simply say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as a crucified Savior. I receive you as a resurrected Savior. And I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sins, that I might remember the hope that is mine. You may be here this morning and you have circumstances, struggles in your life. You've been reading self-help books, or you've been reading the horoscope, or you've been doing something, calling friends, whatever you can do to find out how you can find meaning in your life. Let me tell you, do not depart from what God has done in your life. Do not depart from the great truth that He's given you in this word we call the Bible. Do not forget that He's given you an Ebenezer, and that is the stone that's rolled away that assures you of a place in heaven. You come this morning as we sing our hymn of invitation. You come this morning making any decision. Maybe you want to come today as we close and pray for our nation. We certainly need prayer. You come as God leads you to come this morning as we sing that great hymn of invitation, I Am Thine, O Lord, number 535. You come as we sing.